a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Miss.
How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm here.
Well, that's good.
Got to start somewhere, right? I made the mistake of opening up this magazine. I really need to shut it so that we can record this.
The Supernatural.
Yes, it is the Entertainment Weekly Ultimate Guide to Supernatural, all 15 seasons, exclusive interviews with Jensen, Jared, and Misha.
The Ultimate Guide.
The Collector's Edition.
Oh, you so fancy!
And the last page, by the way, is Sam's Good Hair Days.
Okay. I feel like they were more toward the beginning than the end.
It literally is the transition of his hair through the seasons.
When he had those big sideburns.
Oh, yeah, that's in here. Mm-hmm. Also, like, this swoopy, swoopy swoop.
Oh, my God.
That's in there.
I forgot about the swoopy swoop.
Oh, when it was shoulder length, he needed to pull that sucker back in a ponytail.
He needed a mun.
Yeah, it's funny because you have to, like, work to compare the episodes to the hairstyles.
That's what you know what season it is.
Yep. Like, we got Dead in the Water, season one, episode three.
Oh, that's the short hair.
Yeah, that's this one right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then you got season two, Born Under a Bad Sign.
That was like a Jim Halpert hair, that mm-hmm. first season.
I'll leave you with this.
Oh, I love it. I'll take okay. it.
I feel bad. If you haven't already and it's still available to you, go out and buy this because it is really entertaining. It gives you an insight to the entire season series and all the people involved. It has a full section of Who's in Heaven.
Oh.
Behind the Pearly Gates. Live and Let Die. All that stuff. It's a lot of Sam and Dean dying.
Oh, I mean, it happens.
Again, often.
And again, and again.
Mostly in one episode.
Yeah, that's true.
But I digress. But yeah, definitely. Who's in Hell? Okay, we're done here. Okay.
I wanted to, real quick, before we got into it, I wanted to give a couple shout-outs.
Yes.
I wanted to shout out to our Twitter friend, Deanna, for pimping us out today.
Hi, Deanna. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you spreading the word and sharing us with everyone.
That's what everybody should be doing.
Exactly.
You're just paving everybody. The way.
And then I wanted to give a shout out to Shauna, who just recently found us and has been emailing us and is super excited about the podcast. And we're super excited that she's here listening.
Hi, Shauna.
Hi, Shauna.
Thank you for finding us and listening to us and emailing us.
Yes, we love it when you guys interact with us.
Yeah, I mean, we're here for you guys to listen to us and obviously learn things, but we also are here for you guys because we're part of the fandom, and as the part of the fandom, we want to get to know you guys because you kind of got to know about us, I think.
Do they?
Maybe. I mean, I know I've got dogs and lots of them.
You are up the dog count now.
I am. Between Tallahassee and Loki and then the other three. Two turtles.
All the animals. It's like a zoo over there.
I know.
Liz, are you drinking an alcoholic beverage?
I am. It's been that kind of a day.
This week's been 72 years long.
It's only Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? But also a new exciting piece of news, which you've already teased about.
I have?
You have. I think. Otherwise, I'm giving it away right now.
No, I totally did.
I thought so. Is our Hunter Happy Hour.
Hunter Happy Hour.
We'll be hosting it once a month.
I think once a month is sufficient.
Yeah.
For now, it could be more. I don't know.
Where we will be complete with a supernatural cocktail and recipe for you to make and enjoy with us.
Yes.
And we'll just talk about the series, questions, concerns, anything that you guys really want to talk about. We don't have a layout for it yet, but we're excited to give you guys a platform to interact with us.
Yeah, it's going to be a live happy hour. We haven't decided if it's going to be a live social media thing or if it's going to be more of like a Zoom event so you guys can like literally talk back to us, but details to follow.
Yeah, but that's happening. So if you're excited about it or have any ideas for it, please share them.
Yes.
We are open for them all.
Be vocal.
Tweet at us, message us, slide to the DMs.
Hey, email us. Be like Shauna.
Be like Shauna.
Yes. Oh, and you can leave us a voicemail on our website, which the link is in our bio everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else we need to house clean on before we jump into this episode?
I don't think so. I just want to apologize in advance for not being as prepared as I normally am.
I mean, I'm a little let down, but I mean, I can get over it.
I mean, it's probably more going to be like me just editing out long pauses and me trying to figure my tiddly bits out for you guys.
That works for me.
So they probably wouldn't even know. I don't know why I mentioned it, because they're probably not going to notice.
Now you got to edit that out.
Damn it.
Oh, we're so fucked here. Okay, just kidding.
Anyway.
Yeah, so this episode is season 3, episode 4, Sin City.
Sin City.
It came out October 25th in 2007 and takes place in Elizabethville, Ohio.
Not Las Vegas?
Not Las Vegas, as the name gives in. However, there's a lot of gambling and prostitution and shit.
That one prostitute, like, clearly she's bored.
Oh my god, yeah, she is. She's got nothing better to do, and you know her rates are low.
But clearly she's not getting any business either, so.
Because she holds herself to a higher standard, so she's charging a certain rate when she's really another rate.
She's definitely the half off.
Yeah.
Always and the half off.
I mean, it's not like it's prime time anyway.
I mean, clearly they're like all day it is, though. All day, all night.
That's true. Which is why at that point, I feel like there is no prime time. Because if you're constantly at the same level all the time, then you just kind of have that flat and that's your new normal. This episode I thought was real weird, because not to give too much information about my family life, but it's directed by Charles Beeson, which is my dad's first and middle name. But he goes by CB. So that's weird. Little knowledge bomb about me and my life.
That is really weird.
Yeah, it's strange. Depending on how this drink goes will depend on how this episode goes, so let's get a synopsis.
I feel like I need to have my kid go get me a beer. Oh wait, that's wrong.
That's what don't they're there that. For. No, right? Exactly. Oh wait, this is why I don't have them.
Huh?
This is definitely why I don't have kids.
My dad was telling me a story the other day about how my mom, we were over at my grandma's one time and my mom told me to go get her a beer and my grandma yelled at her. And my mom was like, how many times did you have me do that for you? Like
there's a picture of me like right at walking age, definitely holding a beer.
Oh yeah, we all you had to taste it, because your parents would be like, go ahead, taste it, because you're like, I want it, go ahead, taste it,
because it looks like a soda. Also, following the timeline, this is 2 months after all the demons sprung from hell.
Oh, 2 minutes after all hell broke loose, literally.
Yeah, so we're 2 months out.
Are we ready for a synopsis, a plot?
Yes, give me a good plot. Rest my weary bones.
Lay your weary head to rest.
Don't you cry no more.
Thank you for finishing it. Where did you say we were? Elizabethville, Ohio?
We're in Elizabethville, Ohio. The nice quaint town of Elizabethville, Ohio. A town full of sin.
But it was such a good town, you know, in the Rust Belt.
It was good and God-fearing.
Not no mo.
No, now God is fearing this place.
I was just gonna say that. Okay. Omens and two unusual deaths lead the brothers to Elizabethville, Ohio. I just wanted to make sure I was on the right one. Once a sleepy town that has been turned into a haven for gamblers and drinkers. Those dirty people. They first speak with Father Gill, who witnessed a suicide in his church. A fellow hunter named Richie then takes them to a local bar to investigate its owner, Trotter. A fight breaks out between two patrons, and the bartender, Casey, uses the distraction to lure Richie away. Ooh, uses the distraction. Not a distraction. The distraction. She takes him to a home owned by her parents and kills him in the basement. Elsewhere, Ruby helps Bobby repair the Colt, a mystic gun capable of killing anything. As Sam tests Trotter and discovers that he is not possessed, Dean searches for Richie. He locates the demonic Casey and tricks her into stepping into a devil's trap, which consists of mystical symbols capable of rendering one powerless. Say, one demon powerless. Dean begins an exorcism, but Casey destroys the book and telekinetically causes the basement entrance to cave in. Now trapped together, Dean and Casey begin a conversation. Though the demons encourage Trotter to bring gambling and prostitution to the town, the citizen's behavior is merely human nature. She also reveals that her world is in disarray following the demon Azazel's death and Sam's failure to replace him as leader. The two continue the discussion, and Casey begins developing respect for Dean. Meanwhile, Sam is unable to locate Dean or Casey, so she.
I mean,
So he enlists the help of Father Gill. It was the hair. The hair is getting longer, so.
So we're not quite there yet, but the hair is starting to get long.
He leads Sam to Casey just as Bobby arrives. Father Gill reveals himself to be a demon and incapacitates them. He breaks into the basement and frees his lover, Casey. Despite her pleas, Father Gill sets his sights onto Dean. Sam intervenes and kills both demons with the Colt. His ruthlessness worries Dean to Azazel's warning about Sam possibly not coming back 100% pure Sam.
Ooh, he's tainted.
Oh, tainted Sam. Oh, tainted Sam.
Oh man. And also in this episode, how did Sam get the cult to work?
I don't
He
know.
got it from Bobby, who had help from Ruby.
Vaughn Ruby.
I just want to know how Ruby like weaseled her way into all of this when like three hunters now, all of which were just like, all right, we don't really trust you, but like, fuck it, we're in.
Yeah.
Especially Bobby.
I know.
I mean, when Bobby was finally like, okay, fine, you can help me. That's when I was like, Ruby, maybe she is different.
Maybe a little. Maybe like Casey started to be toward the end.
Maybe.
And
I did
maybe
feel
not.
real bad for Richie, though.
Ah, oh, poor Richie.
Oh, good old Richie.
Richie just wanted some lovin'.
He really did, and he thought he was going to get it from Casey.
Oh, Richie.
Oh, sweet, innocent little Richie,
No.
who wants everyone to just forget about it.
He was fun, though.
He was fun, and I felt so bad for him. And I
Poor
just liked the
Richie.
fact that, like, Dean, it just goes to show you, Dean doesn't care. He doesn't read the room, he doesn't look around him. He says what literally is ever on his mind, word vomit out of his mouth.
When you first saw the priest and all that stuff was happening, and when he was in the bar and everything, did you think something was up with him? Or did you think he was just a priest?
I thought something was amiss with him, but I didn't expect him to be a demon.
Oh, okay.
I
Okay.
think.
I knew there's something definitely off about him.
Yeah, well, even the way that he kind of like handled Dean in that situation, I just.
I thought it was weird the way he was talking to Casey at the bar.
Well, I did too, but at the same time, I thought maybe he and the bartender had a thing. And that was what was kind of weird because obviously, as a man of the cloth, like he shouldn't be drinking and having promiscuous sex and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But obviously, in the town of Sin, that was like, okay, sure, why not?
Everybody's doing it. Well, like he said, he goes where his flock is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so that way when they show up to maybe confession.
Maybe. Can you do that at the bar? Is
I
that
mean,
you have his little confession room at the bar?
maybe that's the basement. After a couple of drinks, you're
Oh.
confessing a lot of stuff.
He should just go in the girls' bathroom. He'll be hearing all kinds of shit.
Oh my God, and giving advice. No drunk girl at any point in time is going, you know what? I just fuck him. Fuck him. I'm gonna leave him and say 10 Hail Marys and four Our Fathers, and I will be fine. You're right, Father. That's all I need to do.
You're right,
No girl's
that
gonna do that and be completely fine with it.
It's just gonna make everything better, I swear.
I just like the fact that some of these demons also are so smart to kind of know that before they even get into a room that a demon trap is there. And Casey's just like, fuck this, I'm going inside, I'm gonna kill Dean, and oh shit.
Well, she didn't know it was there. She got trapped.
I know, like, how did she not know? Like, is that part of like the hierarchy of demons? Like, the higher up you are, the more like sensey you can get.
I guess she was just a low-ranking demon. And the
So
demon
she didn't even
army.
notice. Just like
Yeah.
walked right in.
I do like, though, that Dean was sneaky and he used Richie's GPS to go find him and then buried him and then put the devil's trap on the ground and covered it up and then went back to the bar and started flirting with her.
Yeah, where did he get that time in the day? Because I've seen him and Sam dig a grave. It's not quick. And if he's by himself, it's even slower. No offense to Dean.
But then
Unless he was just like, yeah, 3 feet's fine for Richie.
did they consider Richie a hunter though then? Would they have to do a hunter's funeral? Like, would they have to like put him up on the thing and burn him and do
Oh,
all
they
that
technically
stuff?
would because he was a hunter that Dean had worked with.
Yeah.
Ergo, he should have had a hunter's funeral. So, I mean, that would have been quicker as long as he's not super burying him.
Yeah. But then you think someone would have saw the smoke.
Or she might have seen like the burial burning area.
Yeah. She's like,
I don't know. She really
it
just
smells
wasn't.
Like fire. It smells like fire and flesh.
She was just so broken up over the death of Azazel.
Oh,
that
so...
she just couldn't think normally.
Well, you know what? She was going to follow Sam.
I also like the fact that none of the demons, like, in lieu of Sam taking over leadership for Azazel, I like the fact that apparently none of the demons are taking rank.
Yeah.
They're just like, fuck it, I don't know what's going on, let's cause chaos.
I don't know.
But, like, the seven deadly sins were like, no, let's stick together and fuck this shit up.
We travel in a pack. We can't go away from each other.
I mean, demons are a very pack mentality. Like, that's the difference between them and angels later on, we see.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the demons are a very, like, horde mentality.
Horde?
And,
horde?
Yeah. Horde. Hoarding.
Horde.
Horde. Horde mentality, whereas, like, the angels are kind of on their own. They don't like to really work with anybody else.
Yeah. Those dicks.
And this is the first time that we kind of hear more about this demon hierarchy, because she mentions to Dean, after he's kind of tricked her in there, that they believe in a higher power.
Right.
In Lucifer, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dean's like, you have a god?
She's like, fuck yeah, we do.
Don't you? There was one part that made me laugh in this, and it was when Bobby shows up and he's pointing the gun at the priest guy, and the priest guy, like, makes Bobby fly away. But it was so
Father
funny.
Gil. Good yeah, old Father,
Father Gil.
Gil.
The way Bobby flies away is just hilarious, because it happened, like, way after the guy, like, moved his arm over there. And I was like,
yeah, it was like whoever was working that pulley was just
yeah,
like,
pulley
oh,
thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
sorry.
Oh, it was my turn. Oh, that was my cue.
That was the cue. And also then it makes me think, like, how many times did that work? And, like, how off was it for that to be the take?
You know, really. How many times did it take Jim Beaver getting pulled like that, or whoever, the stunt guy to get pulled like that, before they were like, no, we're not doing it anymore. I'm done. You hurt my back. Did you get the shot? One of them has to be fine.
Also, like, props to Gil and Casey, whatever their demon names are, to be demon lovers for centuries and to still be, like, going strong.
I know.
But also for him to be, like, real chill with Casey, flirting and all that shit, like, being the polar opposites in this, like, that makes me wonder if that's kind of their dynamic every time they're up on the surface.
Maybe that gets Gil excited. People are into weird things.
That's true. But, I mean, do you think he watches?
I don't know. People are into weird things. I'm hit that. I have no idea. But see, that part kind of made me feel bad when Sam killed Gil, because they were like, because even Dean was like, wow, you know, you've been together for centuries, for, you know, lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes. And then Sam just takes him out. And then Dean was like, no, wait, like, don't kill Casey, because she kind of spared my life, because Gil was going to kill me. And then bam, she's gone too.
Well, I think that's also the weird, like, flip dynamic that we see, where Sam was always like, but are they really monsters? And
right.
Dean was like, yeah, they are. Let's kill them. And now we see Dean being like, okay, but are they really monsters? And Sam's like, they're demons. Let's kill them.
Yeah. And you see that more out of Dean as the series goes on. Because you were right. At the beginning, he was like gung-ho, like, no, these are evil. They should die. Whatever. But then they eventually come to, you know, be more like people to them. Some of them, not all of them.
Yeah. How do you think, by the way, poor Trotter, the man's just trying to run a bar, doing nothing, just, you know, slinging some drinks every now and then he just gets splashed in the face with holy water.
The look on Sam's like, face when he finds out that guy is not a demon. Oh my God. He's just like, oh my God, this was a misunderstanding. I'm so sorry.
At least it wasn't, like, acid or something. Yeah. Like, he was just like, why did you throw water on me?
And then he takes the bullets and leaves the gun. He's like, I'm going to take these. I'm going to leave this right here. And then just turns around and walks out like a kid that, like, got caught doing something. Like,
oh, that was so funny. And I like the fact that Sam was just like, and you didn't see anything. I'm going to go find my brother now. Okay, bye. Sorry.
And, like, the guys didn't go after him. That's what I thought was, like, they're just, like, standing there looking at each other, like, with water on them.
Because I think they're in disbelief. They're used to having everything else thrown on them, but, like, water?
God, he could have thrown booze on me. Jesus.
Yeah. Also, props to Casey for destroying the exorcism book.
Yeah.
Like, one, you picked the right brother, because Dean is not going to memorize that.
No, I bet he wishes he did now, though.
Yeah, well, then there's Sam who comes in and she's like, issues, Thomas A. I mean, if I looked it up, I could probably actually recite it. But she definitely picked the right brother because she's like, fuck, if I kill this, there's no way you're exercising me, bitch. And she was right. Dean was just like, well, fuck, now I'm stuck in a basement with a hot chick demon.
So if you're on a devil's trap, it doesn't get rid of your devilly powers. It just you're just stuck in that spot.
I guess that's what we're getting, but like, I feel like it flips throughout the series.
I was gonna say, I thought like in other ones they couldn't do
Then
stuff.
again, it could dial down to the level of demon.
Okay,
The higher
maybe.
the demon in the hierarchy, the stronger their powers, the more likely they are. And I feel like that's where you need to change up that devil's trap. Like, I feel like, yeah, there's a universal devil's trap for all demons to trap them, but I feel like it needs to be changed up depending on the demon that you're with.
I gotcha.
And I feel like that is kind of where things fall through the cracks, pun intended.
Did Sam ever find his shoe?
He obviously patched up his pants. I don't think Sam ever found his shoe. I think he just bought a new pair.
That shoe was gone.
It was a goner. And plus, once it's down in the sewer, you know they're not touching it. You've seen how they treated the body parts.
You don't want that back.
No, not when you know what's in the sewers.
Shifters and shifter goo.
Alligators.
Are aliens gonna come back?
Jefferson Starships. Oh my.
Did you watch the finale yet?
No.
Oh my
I'm sorry. I had to rework my way through season 15 because I forgot where I was at when it came back on. I'm the worst. If I don't finish it, it never ends.
But I could have made a funny reference there.
I'm glad you didn't because I wouldn't have gotten it.
I know. Okay. Not that I wouldn't want to spoil go that far ahead in spoilers anyway, so I would have cut it out, but at least you could have chuckled about it.
Anything else about the episode that you want to throwing my pen? I'll get that before a dog eats it.
I don't think so. It wasn't like a really st it wasn't a standout episode to me.
It was just, I mean, I think it just showed us like how in chaos the demons are.
Yeah.
Now that obviously Sam hasn't taken over for Azazel, and Bobby finally finds out what Azazel said about Sam. So at least Dean kind of came clean with that. Yeah, I feel like this episode something kind of switches in Sam. Like obviously when the Devil's Gate was opened and he killed, oh my
Jake.
gosh, what was his name?
Jake from State Farm.
Yes, Jake from State Farm. When Sam killed Jake from State Farm for giving him a horrible quote after releasing the demons from hell.
All Jake wanted was that free thing of ranch,
He
you
wasn't wearing his khakis. I feel like that switch like kind of flipped, but I feel like this episode like put it in the on position.
Yeah.
Especially because at the end, when Ruby's like, good job, Sammy. Nice job on killing those demons.
Yeah.
Sam was just like, yeah, thanks, bitch. I just killed two demons. I'm not afraid to kill you, too.
Yeah. I mean, he had the gun up to her.
And she played the Dean card, which we all know is a royal flush in the Sam world.
Yep.
Do you like my Sin City
I did.
pun there? You're
I
welcome.
did. I like it. And Sammy said he didn't have a problem killing the demons. It was the people that the demons were in are now dead. That bothered him a little bit.
But I feel like that's something that is like a back and forth because I feel like until a demon, like, unless there's some actual bodily harm, like a throat is slit or something that we're obviously, you're like, okay, that person is not alive anymore. You
Yeah.
don't know a person is alive or dead until a demon is like, hey, you kill me, you kill this vessel. You don't want to do that now, do you?
Yeah.
But at the same time, now you have this juxtaposition of like, do you just want to put that person out of their misery because like they've seen all the people this demon has killed with their hands and like they're going to live with that PTSD? Or,
Like
I mean,
Meg.
regardless, it's still murder. Like, as much as we love Sam and Dean, it's still straight murder. And on that note, you got some tiddly bits?
Well, yes, I do.
Let's our way over.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I got nothing for it. I got nothing. I finished my drink.
It's just murder. So bring
It's
on
just murder, but
the
bring me on the information, the
fun
fun tiddly bits, my knowledge bombs, if you will.
Okay, on to the fun.
Yes, now we talk about the fun, not the repercussions of killing demons in human vessels.
Fun fact, Sin City is an AC/DC song.
It is. And AC/DC is classic rock.
Is it?
We all know Dean loves.
I didn't know.
Shock! Well, now you know.
The more you know with Missy. One of the original victims was named Tony Perkins. Anthony Perkins was the name of the actor who played Norman Bates in the original Psycho. Sin City is also the name of a comic by Frank Miller. There was a movie adaptation in 2005. Did you
see
that?
Very amazing. Yes, I did. And I love Rorschach. It's kind of like a superhero noir film comic.
I didn't see it, but I remember seeing like previews for it. Looks like it's drawn like a comic, right? Is that the right one?
Yeah, and it's got like a hell of a cast.
Yeah,
It has Mickey Rourke, Bruce Willis, Rosario Dawson, Jessica Alba, Clive Owen, Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood, whatever happened to him?
And then there was a sequel like 13 years later.
Oh, wow.
For Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But no, it was really, really cool. It was kind of like gave way to like the graphic novel phase of cinema. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Jamie King's also in there.
Very cool.
Yeah. So if you haven't, it's definitely worth watching. I mean, it is kind of a long film, but Brittany Murphy's in it too.
Mm-hmm. I was like smartass and say Spears, and I was like, that's not who you're thinking of.
No. Rosario, Alexis Bledel, Benicio del Toro.
Oh, okay.
This freaking cast.
Yeah. Maybe I'll add that to my list.
Hell yeah.
Oh, the church.
That's what I was thinking of when you said Sin City. I wasn't thinking AC/DC, which I should have.
Yeah.
I feel.
I'm so disappointed in you.
The worst.
Like, come on, Les. The church that Sam and Dean go to speak with Pastor Gil.
Good old Father Gil.
Father Gil. Happens to be the same church that Anna is hiding in season 4.
Interesting. Yeah. Good use.
Got their money's worth out of that one.
I think the space between really kind of gave us that memory wash.
When Dean and Bobby are crossing the street outside of the bar at the end of the episode, you can see that it's the same street. Can you, though?
Apparently. It is kind of dark.
Apparently you can. So when Dean and Bobby are crossing the street outside of the bar at the end of the episode, you can see that it is the same street used in Eureka outside of Jack Carter's sheriff's office.
I didn't notice that. I think it's because it was dark and I wasn't paying attention. Yeah.
Like, I didn't notice that either, but apparently you can.
Focusing on the characters, not the scenery.
I was focusing on the guy with like the shit all over his shirt, just like walking around.
That's also true.
It's like, what are you doing, sir? Like, I know you're like in Sin City, but you could at least clean yourself. The establishing aerial shot of the Impala traveling through green fields dotted with livestock was also used in the episode Skin from season 1.
What? Yep. Mm-hmm. Gross. But nice to have stock footage of that.
Yeah. Little cows.
I mean, you're in Ohio, so more than likely it's farmland.
That's just the Ohio shot.
Pretty much, yeah.
Anytime they're in Ohio, here you go. There's a continuity error. Dean find Richie's body by tracking his phone's GPS to the demon's hideout, which would require a cell phone signal. However, later, when Dean is trapped in the hideout, his phone cannot find a signal to contact Sam. This can be explained by them having different carriers, especially in the 2000s. We're still in the 2000s.
Or it could just be that that's the last location that Richie's phone pinged at.
Yeah, and I was also thinking that maybe he couldn't get a signal in that basement because, I mean,
using a burner phone?
Yeah, but it was like all stone, like really thick. I don't know. But they're saying because of the early 2000s.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I guess time has something to do with it.
That was probably still the time when you're like, you can't call me until after 9 o'clock because that's when my minutes are free. When Bobby is test firing the Colt at a target, it is seen hitting too low and he is adjusting the sights. The notch on the hammer in the cocked position is the rear sight on such a weapon. Bobby's adjustment is filing the notch deeper. Lowering the rear sight causes a gun to fire even lower. A weapons expert like Bobby should know that.
I feel like Bobby let us down.
I know.
Damn it, Bobby.
This episode is the only one in which Bobby and Ruby interact. I didn't know that, but now I can't think of another time where they would have.
I mean, she's in there enough.
But like even brunette ruby, I don't know. This is Supernatural Wiki says this is the only time, and I believe them because they've never steered me wrong. This is also the first reference to Lucifer in the series, and that some demons worship him as their higher power. Also, is the first time that the yellow-eyed demon's name is revealed to be Azazel.
Is it? I thought it was. I feel like he's been Azazel for a while. Maybe it's just because I know who he is.
I think it's because we knew who he was. I don't think they actually said his name until Casey said it.
Interesting. All right. Unfortunately, this might be sporadic, so I apologize in advance.
I hope All not right. too sporadic. I hope, so not, I hope not sporadically. That's another Brittany Murphy.
That is another Brittany Murphy. This episode to you, brought to you by Brittany Murphy.
Murphy.
All right.
Which is funny because I was watching, funniest Saturday Night Live moments where it was funnier to watch the people break and laugh during the skit than it was like the actual, like actually normally. And she was one of them when Jimmy Fallon was doing Leatherman. She was in one of the Leatherman skits.
I don't remember that one.
So he's like all dressed in leather and he just make creaking noises whenever he walks. It's like,
All right. So obviously we've touched on demons, not physically, but
because we did not touch a demon
in the not biblical sense. But I thought about doing Azazel, and I know that I kind of mentioned him, but I did not decide to do him for this episode. Instead, I decided to kind of focus on the idea of demon or devil's traps.
Oh, I like that.
They are not really mentioned in the Bible or anything, and actually, as a matter of fact, they don't necessarily exist. However, I did find something pretty damn close.
Bring it on. Bring on the knowledge bomb.
All right.
Ah, it rhymed.
Woo! Okay, so what I found are something called incantation bowls. Have you heard of these?
I have not.
Okay, so incantation bowls are also going by the name of demon bowls, devil trap bowls. Or Babylonian demon bowls.
That's pretty specific.
Yes.
Babylonian demon bowls.
A lot of them are particularly tied to the Babylonian times.
Okay.
They are inscribed earthware vessels used to trap demons, usually made of terracotta, which if you're not familiar with terracotta means baked earth. And it's made from baked terracotta clay, usually a natural brown orange in color. We use them mainly for pots now. And they are baked earthware vessels inscribed with charms or magical texts. Babylonians use them from about 2nd century to 7th century and can be found in Upper Mesopotamia and Syria during the Late Antiquity. And if you're not familiar with Late Antiquity era, it is the transition time from Classical to the Middle Ages, generally from 6th to 8th century BC. Now, a lot of these can actually be tied back to the Zoroastrians, which I've mentioned, I think, in two past episodes.
I was going to say, I know that word.
Mm-hmm. But to just refresh your memory on Zoroastrians, it is a pre-Islamic religion founded by Zoroaster in 6th century BC. Now, there are three different types of incantation bowls based on the dialect used in the bowls. And they can range from Jewish Aramaic, which is used by writers in the Low Mesopotamia era between 4th and 11th century. There is the Syriac, which is also known as Classic Syriac, which is based on Eastern Aramaic, which was extremely important to Christianity in Christian literature, and it was used from 3rd century to the 7th century. And the third type of dialect used in incantation bowls is the Mandaic, which is a Southeastern Aramaic used by the Mandaean community. And very rarely, but there are a few incantation bowls that are inscribed with Persian or Pelvi dialect. As with any kind of trap, you generally need to know the name of the demon. And if you are not calling or trapping a specific demon, then you're usually calling on a deity to help you with the trapping of the demon. Some names that appear in some of the bowls are King Solomon, which invoke the use of the power of his seal of his magic ring. And if you're not familiar with the Seal of Solomon, Solomon was given a ring directly from heaven, which was engraved by God, made of brass and iron, which is used with the hexagram to ward off evil forces. And if you look up the Seal of Solomon, looks very similar to the Devil's Trap, which I did mention in kind of the brief coverage I did on what could potentially trap demons and be a demon trap without talking about the incantation bowls. Another name that appears in some bowls is Metatron.
Sorry.
Metatron appears and he is used to invoke angelic help. And he usually appears in terms such as the great prince of God's throne or the great prince of the world, which I'm sure really just feeds to Metatron's ego. And the last name to appear in some of the bowls is coming from an unlikely source, because obviously we have King Solomon, we have Metatron, we have the help of angelic forces. Would you think of using Pazuzu?
No.
Well, Pazuzu actually makes an appearance in a lot of bowls, because Pazuzu, which if you're kind of like, oh, that name sounds really familiar, I wonder where it's from, was actually a demon used in the movie The Exorcist, which is not like a correct representation of Pazuzu, but that's where you heard the name. And Pazuzu was actually known as the Mesopotamia King of Demons.
Oh, a king?
Yeah, so being the king of demons, he can obviously control some of his demons. So the people of Mesopotamia didn't necessarily trust Pazuzu. However, he was known, if called by humans sometimes, to destroy other demons.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so, but they didn't trust him, obviously, because he's a demon.
Yeah, but he would still help you get rid of other demons.
Not all of the time. It's kind of like Anchorman, where it's like 60% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
Whatever he felt like it is when he did it.
Yeah, he'd be like, you know what? Asmodeus is really acting up today. Like, I need to keep him in line. So yeah, okay, you know what, Lisa? I'll help you with your problem.
Lisa.
That's definitely not a Mesopotamian name. I just chose it.
I got you, girl. I got you, yeah. Lisa. I'll take care of that for you.
So obviously we have names appearing in some of these bowls. We have obviously a dialect you can choose from. It's kind of like a make your own demon repellent.
Choose your own adventure. Trap. It's like those books, choose your own adventure.
Pretty much. It's like you walk up to a menu board and you're like, you know what? I'm having a real problem with a demon. So I need to make an incantation bowl today. I will choose Syriac and let's put Metatron in there.
It's like you're going to Chipotle and you're getting a burrito bowl. But it's your demon bowl.
It's your incantation demon bowl.
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Babylonian Demon Bowls. What can I get started for you today?
Let's see. I would like to start with a bowl.
Preferably of terracotta if you have it in stock.
If it's here.
If not, you know what? Whatever baked clay you got on hand, I'll fine with me.
I was trying to think of something you could say that's extra, like guacamole. And you go, I know, it's extra. I still want it.
That's when you put in the Persian.
There you go.
You're like, I know you usually stick with like Jewish Aramaic, but like, could you make it Persian?
You know that's going to cost you extra, right?
That's fine. Okay. I'm a little extra. This demon's a little extra.
Okay, Lisa, here's your bowl.
So on top of those, usually is included spells, which are usually written spiraling from the bowl's rim to the center, and in the center of the bowl is a demon figure, usually in chains. Usually it is a depiction of Lilith, but it could really be any demon, or a picture of an angel capturing a demon, whatever you're trying to invoke and or capture. And usually these bowls, when they've been found through excavation, have been found in situ, meaning in the original place or place of where they were buried. And they know that because these have all been placed upside down and found upside down.
Oh, why upside down? Does that mean something? Is it so something can't get out?
I'm glad you asked that because actually there is a reason.
Look at me with leading questions.
Are found inverted. And it is in the hopes to trap the demon. And usually these bowls are found buried under the four corners of foundations of houses to seal cracks where demons could slip through and into the house to attract somebody.
Oh, okay.
And because these are placed on the four corners, it aids for protection against all demons, especially Lilith and her offspring, which include Asmodeus and the other demons.
Frickin' Lilith.
Now, they've also been found buried in courtyards, under thresholds, and in cemeteries. And usually it's just a single bowl overturned. However, rarely you can find two bowls that are actually stuck together containing inscribed eggshells, which can you imagine inscribing eggshells? Like, no. Like,
ain't nobody got time for that.
Nah. And human skull fragments.
Oh, well.
Why not?
Okay.
Grandma wasn't using it anyway.
She didn't need it anymore.
Nope. Now, depending on the actual inscription, these bowls could be used for protection, which is what they're supposed to be used for. However, they could be used to send demons to an enemy if you didn't read the inscription.
How would that happen?
In your inscription, instead of asking for protection and or angelic power, you actually invoke the demon that you're supposedly trying to capture. You could be like, hey, Susan, I got that bowl for you that you were asking for to protect yourself against Asmodeus. Totally gonna dig a hole for you right now and put it away for you. And then next thing you know, like, you wake up in the morning, Asmodeus is there, and you're like, the fuck, you're supposed to be trapped. And he's like, nah, she's on my payroll now.
And like, Karen, thank you, but I would like to read that bowl before you place it in my ground.
Pretty much, yeah.
Thank you.
Now, these charms are actually used specifically to protect homes, family, and possessions, rarely a single person. And so far, there are 80 Jewish incantation bowls that have survived from the Babylonian era, mainly protecting against Lilith, the Evil Eye, and Bagdana, which, if you're not familiar with Bagdana, he is actually the Jewish king of demons.
Oh, I was not familiar with that. That's interesting. I feel like that's a lot that are still around that survived.
So you thought 80 bowls. That was just...
I feel like that's a lot to be to survive.
Is, however, that is just the Jewish incantation bowls. So far, they found over 2,000 magical bowls that still exist that are placed in both museums and private collections. And the most popular, obviously, with the 80 right there, is Jewish Aramaic. The second highest magical bowl counts go to the Mandaean dialect, with the Syriac being a third. And in case I didn't mention it, I got my information from Britannica, occultworld.com, deepbluelib, umich.edu, good old University of Michigan, and the britishmuseum.org. And just a little hint, they're not 100% sure, but they believe the 2,000 that they found so far are actual authentic incantation bowls. However, they believe that for whatever reason, there are some forgeries out there.
Oh, okay.
And I did find in my research 3 bowl stories from the National Library of Israel by the collector Avigdor Klagsbold.
Good job.
Yeah, and so they now have 8 bowls at the National Library of Israel. I'll give you the choice of, do you want to listen to the very short story of a bowl to protect a house and its residents, the Mandaic bowl of the boy Ben Dabe, or the story of Smumit, a mother protecting her children?
I would like the Smumit.
The Smumit, mother protecting her children?
Yes, I want to hear about Smumit.
So these bowls are actually among the oldest items in that library. And if you look them up, you can actually look up what these bowls look like. And they literally look like these bowls that have tiny writings in a full spiral that go to a picture in the center. Some have survived completely. Some are chipped. Some are broken in half. So some of it's a guess. But the quick story in the National Library of Israel is the story of Smumit, a mother protecting her children. This bowl was donated by Gershom Scholem. And the inscription inside the actual bowl is the story of a woman named Smumit who lost her sons at the hand of a demon named Sidrus. And after losing her sons, she actually ended up building herself a fortress where she gave birth to another son. However, somehow Sidrus managed to enter the fortress and kill the newborn child. Once he killed the child, he fled. And at that point, heavenly intervention came in the form of 4 angels, Sone, Sasani, Songari, and Ertiko, who pursued Sidrus and caught him.
I like how all of them sound alike except for the last person.
Yeah, Ertiko was just like, yeah, guys, I'll come with you.
It's like the Watt brothers. It's like JJ, TJ, and Derek.
Yeah, or Angela, Eliza, Peggy.
yet. I wake up singing that song. It's like work, work, Eliza. That's
And
like
begging
hanging.
it. Yeah, it's just like Sonny, Sasani, Sungri, and Ertigo. So they pursued Cedrus, and they caught him, and they were about to kill him when he surprisingly swore to never harm a child
Oh, never.
again. Specifically, any more children of the bull owner, which at that point, if I had four children at this point, I'm assuming it doesn't give her actual total, like total of children she lost. She just says she lost her sons and then another born child. But if I lost that many children to the hands of a demon, I'm not gonna be like, you know what? This time he's telling the truth.
Yeah, I believe him this time. He's really turned over a new leaf.
So he swore to never harm the children of Shmemet again.
Yeah, what if Smemet didn't have any more kids?
At that point, I
That's kind
wouldn't.
of
Just out of,
like.
I'd be like, you know, it has to be a girl. But he did it on the strict need that he would never harm the children wherever the names of the four angels were mentioned. So if Smummit never mentioned the four angels, he'd be free game. But if she invoked the four angels, he'd be like, nope, I'm out.
Deuces.
And this story actually almost parallels the story of Lilith, the first wife of biblical Adam, and, you know, demonic murder, children.
You know that stuff.
That whole shindig, and that the names of the three angels can still be found today in a slightly altered form in amulets and talismans intended to protect any pregnant woman. And in the center of this specific bowl is the drawing of an unidentified figure. And the story, if you were curious about looking it up, which has some more information than what I just kind of like delve light into, you can actually find it if you search a piece published in 1985 by Joseph Nave and Shal Shaked.
Shawl shocked.
And it was brought to light again by James Nathan Ford.
How do you spell Shmemit?
Smemit, Smumit.
I was spelling it wrong. Okay.
It could be Smumit, but I say Smumit. And just a quick, like, a simple bowl to protect your house and its residents. Apparently traveled from Jerusalem, was reassembled from several fragments. So they're assuming that this all came from the same bowl, but they're not 100% sure. However, a big piece is clearly missing. And the inscription on the bowl is written in Jewish, Babylonian, Aramaic, which is to appeal to a large number of angels, I guess anyone listening to the call, to protect the house and its inhabitants. And at the center of that bowl is a depiction of a demon with long hair bound by its hand and feet.
Long-haired hippie demon.
Yeah, so I guess if you had short hair and you're a demon, like that house is free game. But like if you have long hair, you can't go in.
You're Sam in season
You
seven,
can't enter the house.
you cannot go.
But that's all
That's
I got
funny.
in incantation bowls because I tried to look up, like I said, demon traps, but you can't really find anything on demon traps. This is the closest thing that I could find to tie to this episode because I didn't want to read too much onto demons because we've touched on them enough times. That I wanted to tell you more
Hush,
information on
hush.
things you might not know.
I did not know
Yeah,
that those were
the
a thing.
incantation bowls.
Very
Yeah.
cool.
So that's all I got for me. Meow. Meow, right?
Meow, right meow,
Meow.
right meow.
So, yeah, anything else on this episode?
No, I got nothing.
All right, guys. Next episode following Sin City is season 3, episode 5, Bedtime Stories.
Ooh.
I'm excited to talk about it.
Me too.
So that is going to be the episode we talk about next episode. So, guys, tune in, continue to share us with your friends, tweet at us, slide into our DM, send us emails, any ideas you got, and look forward to our Hunter Happy Hour.
It's a lot. It's a lot of H's.
There is a lot of it's H to the third.
Triple H.
Not to be confused with J squared.
You're correct.
And we are working on some merch for you guys that we hope to have out soon, available for purchase.
Yeah, hopefully within the next week. I gotta
Potentially
get
in
out.
time for Christmas or the new
Ooh,
year.
yeah, probably the new year.
Yeah, I mean, you can order it before Christmas, but it probably won't be to you by
Yeah, we
Christmas.
can't guarantee that you're gonna get it before Christmas.
No, not with everything going down. So stay happy, stay healthy,
Stay safe.
stay safe, and stay supernatural.
I like it.
Yeah,
Oh.
I do things sometimes.
I was like, that's my cue. Hold on.
You've been listening to Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBN Balls Pod or email sbnballspod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.